Hi, this is Steve Harris. You've heard me on the Survival Podcast and other places. However, today it's just me talking to you about first aid directly. I want you to have something to listen to while you were looking at this webpage so you could get a pretty decent first aid education on the things that you need and the things that you need to do to be prepared to handle medical situations. You can also find all of my other stuff, my other shows on energy and home power and powering your house from your car and generators and fuel storage and a whole bunch of other subjects at www.solar1234.com. That's solar1234.com. Anyways, first aid. This is really a subject that is overlooked by a great deal of people in the preparedness community, and it's something that you definitely need to have, and you will definitely miss if you don't have. What people don't really understand is their priorities in first aid. Most people focus on wounds and bleedings and, I got cut, I got stabbed, I got shot, I got this, I got that, I'm bleeding, because bleeding is so traumatic. But the thing that will hurt you the quickest, the easiest, is the biggest organ on your entire body. That's your skin. Your skin is your largest organ. It will hurt you. It will debilitate you. It will make you uncomfortable quicker than anything else will. Now, why will it do this? Particularly in a disaster, what we're talking about is an unclean situation. You're not showering every day. You're not washing. You're getting oil and dirt build up on your skin, and anything that gets cut is going to get infected just from working and cleaning things up or trying to find people in buried houses from a tornado or whatever the situation is, whether you're hiking, walking, just at home, you're looking at it being pretty easy to get skin rashes and irritations. You might be outside all day, so you're going to get sunburn. You might be walking in boots and such, and you're going to get blisters. You might even be in tennis shoes and be in a Hurricane Katrina-type environment where your feet are constantly wet, and you're going to get what's called trench foot, which would be the fungal infection and the rotting of the tissue between your toes, and that becomes open and infected, and just generally not good stuff occurs when you have wet feet. So skin is really your number one priority, with a fair amount of emphasis about the skin around your feet and keeping your skin clean. Your next priority is to be able to, it's about skin as well, but it's about being able to stop bleeding and to heal wounds. You're going to get minor cuts and scrapes and bumps and bruises and everything. And the thing is, these cuts and scrapes and even mosquito bites can become infected because, again, you're not in a clean environment. So you need to cover these, put antibiotics on them, keep them clean, and let them heal. And if you don't, they become infected. They become infected, they become red. They become red, they become sore. They can become pussy and inflamed, and you can go all the way to a blood poisoning situation if it gets serious enough. And with contaminated sewage and water and everything else, it can get serious enough pretty quickly. Now, what's the else will debilitate you next after your skin and then your skin with wounds and bleeding? Well, that would be your digestive system, your stomach. Something goes wrong with your stomach. I mean, you're drinking dirty water or contaminated water. You didn't purify it correctly. You didn't have a way to purify it. Your hands went into the Katrina water, and then you just, like, wiped your lips with it or your face with it later, and you got contaminated that way. And now, all of a sudden, you got diarrhea. Or you got continuous diarrhea, and then you start getting nauseated, and you start puking. All of this can be pretty debilitating to you. If you got diarrhea, you just don't want to move away from whatever your improvised toilet facility is. And if you're nauseous, you're pretty much on your back waiting for the nausea to go away. So your stomach, your digestive system can be pretty debilitating for you, and you need to have things that will take care of this. Next, your respiratory system can become infected. From a cold becoming bronchitis, the flu, inhaling a great deal of dust and particles and irritating your respiratory system, even your sinuses, all of those different things can get can be harmful to you. Now, respiratory system is down on the list because, I mean, it's a little bit hardier and it's a little bit harder to get to you and hurt you with your respiratory system as it is your digestive system or your skin, your skin. So that's why the first part of the website and this discussion is focusing on your skin. And we're going to start with skin and with wounds and bleeding. And one of my favorite things to stop for cuts and scrapes and stuff that are bleeding is what's called DuraPore medical tape. This is a tape from 3M and Curad and other companies. This is not the paper medical tape you were used to as a kid, okay? This is silk tape. They got plastic tapes. These are really adhesive, very adhesive surgical tapes. The stickiest of them all is the DuraPore tape, and that's on the top of the website. Don't use Band-Aids anymore. I get a cut or something, and I just wrap it in the DuraPore tape, and I got a photograph of me being cut right there. It says Harris photo of me bleeding and using this. I was cutting some rolls with a steak knife, and the steak knife slipped and went through and got my finger, and I said, oh! And I went down to my medical kit and got some of the DuraPore stuff, and I was going to wrap it. And it's like, hey, I got my camera right here. I know I'm going to be making this website and giving this class. Hey, click, 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 click. Here I am bleeding and wrapping it and taking the pictures of all this for you. Now, what happens if it's bleeding a little bit more than the tape can handle? Well, take some paper towel or some toilet paper, put it onto the wound, and wrap it with the tape, and now you got an absorbent thing going on there. Now, don't laugh, because this really works, and I've used it a lot. What is one of the most inexpensive, widely available, not bandages, but I mean a bandage type device that's designed for stopping bleeding? Oh, you're going 4x4 gauze and surgical sponges and everything else. Well, it's female sanitary napkin pads. Yep. You got it. It's the thing the women use every month when they are on their menstrual cycle. Those are designed to do one thing, and they are designed to absorb blood and stop blood flow. And they are sanitary by their nature because of where they're going. They're not sterile, okay, but they are sanitary. They're clean, which will be good for most of the stuff that you're doing, especially since you might be putting a topical antibiotic like triple antibiotic cream on it. But the ones I prefer are the ones that are individually wrapped, not just the open the box and pull one out. The individually wrapped ones are sanitary, and they're going to stay sanitary because they're sealed in a little wrapper. And so what I'll do is if you had a bad enough bleed, you take one of these and you slap it right onto the bleed, then you wrap it up with tape or Curex or Ace bandage wrap or whatever you can, rip your T-shirt and tie it around it to hold it down to stop the bleeding. And it does a great job for that. For smaller cuts and stuff, I will take the pair of scissors that are there listed underneath of the individually wrapped sanitary napkins, and I will cut part of it off to the size that I need, put it over the wound, and then take the tape and wrap around it and tape it up. This makes for a very, very simple medical kit, and it is, keep it simple, it is very inexpensive. There's more sanitary napkins made in one day than there are 4x4 sterile gauzes made in an entire year. Okay, this is a mass manufactured product. You can go down to your local store and you can get them right now. If you're a man and you're not embarrassed about going into the feminine hygiene area of the store and buying things, this is for you. If not, you might have to treat your lady to something really special, you know, for a dinner, to say, honey, would you please go down to the store and get me some individually wrapped sanitary napkins? That's funny. You going, honey, please. Usually it's the female going, honey, please, would you mind running down to the store and getting me some tampons? So I've never had a problem with going to the store and getting tampons for a girlfriend or my wife, so I don't think you should either. Besides, the lady at the checkout will just look at you and think, oh, you're such a nice guy for going out and getting this for your wife. So I got a really great pair of medical scissors. They're very, very highly rated on Amazon, top quality stuff. They're only $9.90, and I keep those in my medical kit. Those are good for turning your t-shirt into bandages, your t-shirt into a sling, cutting off part of your pants and using that material for something, or getting to a wound. There's 1,001 uses for a good pair of medical shears and an emergency kit, preparedness kit, whatever you have. The next thing up there is a NextCare No Sting Liquid Bandage. It's kind of cute. I've used it before. It just works great for scrapes because it puts like a tacky hard covering over the scrape. And especially if it's like on your elbow and it's hard to tape down and everything else, it works. Just pick some up at your local store or click the link and get it via Amazon and try it and see like, wow, this is really good stuff. This works for me. It works for my kids. Or like, oh, this sucks. Really. You just can't really buy a pre-made medical kit. I mean, your medical kit really has to be stuff that you know that works for you, that you've gotten and put together into your kit for yourself and your family and your friends based upon your needs. You might be highly allergic to some things. You need extra hydrocortisone. You need extra Benadryl. You could get blisters easily. You could bruise. There's lots of different things, okay? That's why I stress. I'm giving you this complete list, okay? It's not like for you to go down and say, okay, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get this. This list of stuff all has my comments on it, my personal comments, because I got experience with this stuff, okay? So it's got my personal experience and sometimes photographs of me taking pictures of my finger bleeding just so I can show it to you. That's how dedicated I am to giving you some personal background on these items so you can make an informed decision. So I don't just want to educate you. I want to enable you. So if I inform you and then I give you knowledge and then I tell you where to go get it, what it is and where to go get it, now you are enabled. And now, once you have the information, you're enabled to get it, and you get it. Now that you get some experience, you are allowed to now, you'll be getting knowledge. Because as my gym friend Jim Phillips says, knowledge is information multiplied by experience. And that's why you open the stuff up and you play with it. That's why you take the female napkins, open it up, say, oh, this is what it looks like. I've never seen one before. And some men haven't. And you take the scissors and you go, yeah, this is soft. And yeah, I can see how it's absorbing. You take the scissors, cut some different shapes, put it on your finger, wrap some tape around it. It's like, hey, I get it. This works. I mean, you literally need to play with your stuff. It's by far better for you to have played with half of it and know how to use it intimately and quickly than for you to have never opened the box and not have a clue. Because you're not going to be sitting there at the couch and everything else. You're going, oh, yeah, let's open my medical kit. I need a little bandage and a little thing and some triple antibiotic cream. No. I mean, it is going to be, your house is going to be half blown away from a tornado. You're going to be someplace else. You're going to be cold, wet. It's raining. Your child has fallen down. His knee is bleeding. It's dark. You can't find a flashlight. And this is the time that you're going to be going through the kit to try to find the right bandage and the tape or whatever you need to put onto your child's bleeding and scraped up knee because he's screaming and he's crying and he's in a lot of distress and you want to take care of him. So remember, you got to be able to repeat this stuff under stress, okay? That's why you got to be able to practice with it and play with it. You got to know where it is in the bag with your eyes closed. Reach in and get it by feel. Pull it out. Hopefully you got a flashlight. You know, assess the problem. Stop the bleeding. Put some antibiotic on it. Wrap it up. Put a sling around it. Whatever you have to do, you got to be able to do this in the dark and blind while you're cold, wet, hurting, and distracted. Okay? So that's my little speech on that. Now, as far as cleaning wounds, whether it's a scrape or a scratch or it's a cut, and you fell down and you got a bunch of dirt in the wound, and you got, say you fall down and you get a good cut from a nail, and you got a bunch of road rash, a bunch of gravel made a whole bunch of hurty points around your wound, okay? So it's a bad, bad scrape. You need to clean it out. Nothing works better than a 20cc, or which is a 20 milliliter syringe with no needle. You just take some sterile water, and in the different areas of the website where we talk about water, not this website, but it's another website, you take some sterile water, some cleaned water, some water you either you sterilize, or I have a little bottle of sterile water up here for you to purchase, and it's a little 250 milliliter bottle, and you put the syringe into the bottle, and you pull out the water, and then you irrigate the wound. You use the syringe as a little squirt gun, and you squirt the water into the wound and on the rash to get the foreign debris and material out. Then you can put some triple antibiotic around it, or you can use some stuff to close the wound, and you put a covering over it. It could be the female napkin pad. It could be 4x4 sterile gauze. It could be Curlex. It could be a whole bunch of other different things. And so you now close and cover that. So the syringe and water works very good for that. I also got the Johnson & Johnson microabsorbed gauze sponges up there. These are what are called 4x4s. They are absorbent. These are sterile, and I got them up there sterile and individually wrapped, and I have them sanitary and not individually wrapped. And this is what you can dab this in some alcohol or some clean water, and you can clean around the wound and get some of the blood and the dirt off of it, and or you can put it over on top of the wound and tape it down. There's lots of different things you can do, but it's just another resource for you. It's the much more expensive version of the female and individually wrapped sanitary napkins. So we also have some butterfly closure strips up there. These are for closing wounds. You got a cut, and let's say it needs a couple stitches, one, two, or three, and you're not in an environment where you are going to be getting near a doctor or an emergency room anytime quick for them to put some lidocaine in and suture it up. These butterfly closure strips, they are the next best thing. They will close the wound, help you pull the wound together, and then so you can keep pressure on it, stop the bleeding and everything else. And then below that, I have, super glue. You got that. 3M Vet Bond Adhesive, 3M Wound Closure. It's called Vet Bond because it's used by vets for closing wounds on animals, which means it's a lot cheaper than the stuff for humans. It's just that it didn't have to go through the whole FDA process. So this is super glue for skin, and you can use this to hold wounds together. You might use the Steri-Strips to bring the wound together and then put some glue on it to actually hold it together a little bit better. If you want the human version, there's a single-use vial of Dermabond there for $17.95. And it's a one-use vial, and you can use that to glue the wound together as well. Now, if you got some more significant bleeding going on, it's an open wound, and it's just a damn bleeder, and you just can't stop it. There's stuff you can pour into the wound. Okay, these are called clotting agents. The big one used to be called Quick Clot. That's a first-generation anticoagulant. The Celox is a third-generation anticoagulant. It is much better. And the 35-gram pouch would be used for a significant wound. I mean, it's bleeding like a stuck pig. It's bleeding so much that it's scaring the piss out of you. It's a knife cut. It's a serious gouge from a nail. It's a serious penetration. It's a gunshot wound. You're using Celox on that to stop the bleeding. Now, listed on that same paragraph, I say I got some smaller 2-gram packets of Celox here. And that smaller 2-gram packets would be used for smaller wounds. That means you just might have a blood issue where you're a bleeder. You just don't have the clotting factors due to medication or other treatment you're going through, so you're bleeding a lot more than other people do. You can use the little 2-gram packets and put those on a cut that would probably need a stitch or two, and you can put that in there, and that will stop the bleeding. Lickety-split, put something over it, put a pressure on to it, compress it, hold it down, stop the bleeding, and the Celox goes a long way towards helping that. This is almost off the store stuff, okay? You are beginning to see clotting agents for sportsmen and campers and stuff like that appearing on the shelves, and it's now 2013. And I'd say by 2015, 2016, this is going to become a lot more common item. It's going to be whereas your mother put a Band-Aid on you and told you to go out and play, you or your children to their children are going to be sprinkling some Celox onto the wound, putting a Band-Aid on it, and say, go out and play. So that is what Celox is for. Curlax-type gauze rolls, 4 feet by four inches by 4 yards long. So it's 4 inches wide by 12 feet, and it is sterile. Curlax is the do-everything in the first aid community. You can use it to cover a wound. You can wrap it around a wound, and it'll apply pressure, and it'll absorb the blood at the same time. You can fold it back and forth into a napkin and put that down and tape that down. You can use the Curlax as a sling. And in actually one trauma medical class I had, this is not me telling you to do this, this is something I'm telling you that I had done, is that we would pack wounds with Curlax. We would, I mean, literally a 6-inch long, 4-inch deep wound. We'd pack it end to end with Curlax and side to side and fill the whole thing up, and it would stop the bleeding because it's a foreign body. That's not me telling you to do that. If you want to know about how to do that, then you need to take a combat lifesaver course or a serious trauma medical course, and you will learn about doing such things. So Curlax is the do-all thing. It's great to have. I mean, four of them come in a bag, sterile, for $4.55 or thereabouts. I mean, it is just a great thing to have in your kit because, like I said, it's the do-all. You can use it as a pressure compression bandage. You can use it to tie up a wound. You can use it as a sling. It's got 101 uses to it. Now, speaking of compression bandages and wounds and everything, one of the most famous battle dressings or compression dressings on the market is the IBD, the Israeli battle dressing. They are famous for this thing, and it's sold around the world. It comes sterile, individually wrapped, vacuum-packed, and you open it up, and it's got a great big pad on it, and you put that pad over the wound, the gunshot, the knife wound, the artillery wound, the missing limb, whatever. And it's got pieces that wrap around the arm or the leg and everything, so you can cinch it really tight. And it's got cinchers in it to help you cinch it tight and then tie it off real quick with the cinchers. And it applies maximum pressure with maximum absorption to a real serious wound so you can help stabilize that person to get them to serious medical treatment. And speaking of serious bleeders, the number one tourniquet used now is the CAT, the Combat Application Tourniquet. And this is a little miracle device all wrapped up and ready to go. You should take it out and play with it on yourself and each other. You don't crank it down all the way, okay? It hurts. You'll know. But get used to using both your hands and putting it on and then turning the windlass a little bit to make a little pressure and put the windlass into its little cover so it'll stay tight and everything else. I can't emphasize enough of you doing this. The Israeli battle dressings, you might buy three of those. They're only $6 each or less. Open one up, play with it, put it on each other and everything else, and then save the other two for your emergency kit. But that's what I'm talking about. You buy three, you use and play with one, and you keep the other two safe. Don't buy three and save three. Buy three and use one, and then keep the other two. Again, you're going to have to be doing this thing under stress. Like someone's bleeding, screaming, crying, and you are so much blood that you're pissing your pants. You're going to have to be, putting this battle dressing on them, and they're still going to be in pain, screaming. They might be in more pain because you've just wrapped this bandage around them really darn tight, and then you're going to be trying to get them to the nearest medical facility. So that covers it for skins, wounds and such, cuts and bleeding. There'll be more things added to the section that won't be in this audio, but they will just be augments to the different things that I have told you about. Be sure to continue to read the description to things I put up there, because that is where a great deal of the information is coming from. Skin cleaning and disinfecting. Boy, how to stop a really bad infection from taking hold? How do you stop a really bad infection? You don't let it get started. That's what you do. So I got some Band-Aid, first aid, hurt-free antiseptic wash. This is great for kids because you can squirt it right on the wound and it'll clean it and it'll get the stuff out of it. And it's got a mild painkiller in it to take away some of the pain from a road rash. And it's particularly good for your children or your husbands who act like big babies when they get hurt, okay? Me included. Next, we got some alcohol, isopropyl alcohol, 99%. You can get this at Walmart, but generally it's going to be 70 or 90% isopropyl alcohol. This is 99%. You put this on some female napkin pads. You put this on some Curlex. You put this on some 4x4 gauze or sponges, and you use it to clean up around the wound. You know, get everything around the wound nice and clean. Wipe over it a little bit. You're not really pouring alcohol into the wound. That's what you use hydrogen peroxide for. Hydrogen peroxide will help you clean up the area around the wound, but hydrogen peroxide you can pour into the wound. This is what your mother used to use on you and me when we were kids, and you had a scrape or a scab or a cut or a bruise, and she'd pour hydrogen peroxide, and it would fuzz up and get all white and frothy and everything else. That's hydrogen peroxide. You can buy it here, or you can get it off the store of Walmart just as easily. Now, speaking of stopping infections, that's what iodine does, okay? You put iodine in and around the wound, especially like a rash, you can clean up with iodine. I wouldn't put it into a cut because it would hurt like crazy, but you can put it around wounds and clean up the area and everything, and it does a real good job. This is the stuff that stains you yellow. Note, if you have an allergy to shellfish or iodine, do not use this. You will have a not healthy reaction to it. If you're allergic to iodine and shellfish, you will generally know it from previous experiences, and you would have been told. I also have Providine iodine swab sticks. These are like the pads. The pads are individual pads. You just rip them open, and you take the wet nap out of it that's soaked with iodine. You wash everything down. The iodine swab sticks, they're sticks that you break open, and you can swab an area. It's more like a pencil. After that, we have the tincture of iodine. This is an iodine solution that's in a glass bottle, and it's got a little, not a dropper on the end, but it's a solid dropper stick. And you pull it off and you use a little dropper to smear it around or put it on some gauze and then clean it, or to put it in and around the area you want to clean up directly on the skin and then wipe it down and wipe it around. Alcohol prep pads, these are really good. These are for people who'd be allergic to iodine or people who just don't want to use iodine, people who don't want the staining properties of iodine. This is just like a hand sanitizer, only it's a little towelette inside a little pack. 200 of them for about $4. And the nice thing about these little prep pads, whether it's iodine or alcohol, they're real small and thin. You can put them into a real small medical kit, something that you have with you in your car all the time, or you might have in your desk at work. A little bit goes a long ways, and it's a lot better than nothing. So alcohol prep pads can work good for cleaning stuff up, disinfecting, and they're really good for cleaning your hands and getting whatever is someone else's infectious stuff off of your hands, or they're really good just for disinfecting your hands. They're the same as a Purell hand sanitizer or a Purell hand wipe, only they're about 1/5 to 1/10 the cost, so you can buy these. And after you come out of Walmart and it's flu season and everything else, you can use this to disinfect your hands and everything else that you've touched so you don't get the flu. So these work really good for that. Now, one of the big things out there you need for cuts, scrapes, wounds, and everything else is Neosporin ointment, which is really called triple antibiotic ointment. I have the name brand Neosporin up there. It's it's $18, but it's a 3-pack, so that's pretty inexpensive compared to buying it in the store. And this is what you put on stuff after they start to heal and to prevent them from becoming infected. A little triple antibiotic ointment goes a long way. Keep in mind, triple antibiotic is one of the things that does have a shelf life. It does degrade with time. So in a couple years, this won't be any good. Now, I also have the antibiotic ointment in the little pads as well. There's no pad in there, but it's a little sachet, about the size of your finger and everything else. It's got a little bit of triple antibiotic in it. So you just rip it open and you squeeze the gel onto your wound and everything. It's nice. These are nice because you can give these away. You can have half a dozen of them in your kit, and a friend of yours gets cut, scraped, hurt, or something. You can give them, you can wrap them up with some, female napkin pad. Hey, let me cut this female napkin pad and put it on your wound. What the heck? But you can put some triple antibiotic on it, and then you can put some dermapore tape around it or a little pad or whatever you want to do to help your friend in his little wound. So that's what they're nice for. You're not taking your tube of your ointment and squeezing it onto him and everything else. So I like the little packets, and I always try to make sure I include packets in and around when I'm showing you the other stuff. Now, skin, cuts, scrapes, irritation, rashes, cleaning your skin and everything else, we're going to go into that a little bit more. There's something out there, depending on what part of the country you're in, it's either called bag balm or Porter's liniment. Bag balm was initially made for cow udders because from daily milking, they'd get cracked and chafed. You know, they're washing the udders all the time, and that will help them get cracked and chafed and a skin irritation. And so they put the bag balm on it, and it would heal up the udders real quickly. My mother actually had her hands all cracked and broken and everything in the old days, back in the 70s, from doing dishes. And a farmer gave her this and said, you know, go ahead and use this. I'm going to give this to you, but don't laugh. I promise you're not going to laugh. And he gives it to her, and boy, it clears up stuff pretty quickly. I use it on mosquito bites. It takes away the itch of mosquito bites real quickly. If you got something that is irritated, a rash, or, you know, just being chafed, it goes a long way to making that feel a lot better. And the other thing, don't forget, the bag balm, it comes in like a 10-ounce tin for $9, $10. That's a lot. I mean, that'll last you a decade or more, depending upon your usage of it, or more in my case, 20 years. But they also got the little 1-ounce tins. It's exactly a clone of the big one, except it's a little 1-ounce tin, and it's less than an inch by an inch by an inch. And that's just enough in there for a little medical kit. Also, you got the Porter's liniment salve. This is basically the same thing. You put it on things that are irritating you on your skin. And it comes in smaller packs, smaller tins that are thinner and lighter, and they slip into medical kits better. So I got those up there. Buy either one that you're familiar with or is in your area, or you can get them off of Amazon, or whichever one is going to fit into your kit. Now, the thing is, if one of these salves will not take away that itch that is bothering you, then you are going to need to put a steroid on it. In this case, it is hydrocortisone, and I'm sure you've heard of this. It is generally called an anti-itch cream or something. My wife had an earring that was irritating her. It was a new earring. Her earlobe just itched and itched and itched, and she put Porter's on it, itched and itched and itched. It just wouldn't go away, and I actually had to run to the store and get her some hydrocortisone cream. 5 seconds after she puts it on her earlobe, the itching stops. Okay, that is the power of hydrocortisone. Some things that are an allergic reaction, you know, the bag balm and the Porter's are more for irritations, okay? The hydrocortisone is more for an allergic reaction. And that is what you need to take care of that. I also got it in packets as well, right below. The tube of anti-itch maximum strength 1% hydrocortisone. I got 25 anti-itch packets. Again, you got a friend, they got an itch, they got a rash, and you don't really care to know what that itch or rash was from, and you're like, here, put this on it. Okay, here's a few packets. Go ahead and do that. Now, something else for taking care of irritations you don't want to overlook is Desitin, which is zinc oxide. Desitin is typically used for diaper rash. Now, what causes diaper rash? Well, that would be bodily fluids and bodily products. What are you going to have in a disaster where you're being in a non-sanitary environment, you're using an improvised toilet, a 5-gallon pail, a luggable loo? sitting on a tree branch, you're doing something, you are very likely to start getting your own version of diaper rash. And it can be absolutely irritating, both to the spot where everything comes out and or to the skin around it. And it can be really irritating. That's why they call some people irritating you-know-whats, because that's how irritating they are, or this is. Desitin takes care of that problem lickety-split. You don't put hydrocortisone on it. You don't put bag balm on it. You put Desitin on it. So anything dealing with bodily fluid, itches, and irritations, use Desitin. This is the same stuff people put on their nose as a sunblock because their hat covers their face, but their nose sticks out, and they're real sensitive to the sunshine, and so they just burn, and some people will cover their nose in Desitin. This is an older thing. You used to see it. Now, after that, we have basically what's Benadryl, which is diphenhydramine, hydrochloric acid, 25 milligram medicine, etc. This is the stuff that you take if you're having allergies. It's the old allergy medicine before we had Claritin and all the other newer family stuff, Zyrtec, etc. We had, all you had was diphenhydramine or Benadryl, and it takes care of your allergies pretty good, but it also makes you quite tired. This is also the sleep aid that's used in Tylenol sleep and Advil sleep and everything else to make you tired. So Benadryl has many different applications. One, it can be used as a sleep aid. Two, if you're having severe allergy problems and everything else that are driving you crazy and a disaster, you can take the Benadryl. And four, if that itch or that rash is not going away with the hydrocortisone cream, you just might have to take a Benadryl because it will have this, it will have better and stronger anti-allergy properties to them than the 1% cream that you're putting on top of whatever is bothering you. So this is another two is one, one is none. It's another way of treating another same problem you have, only a different way. And it's got other uses, like I said, like making you tired. Don't forget your lips. It's something that doesn't happen to me very often. My lips don't get chapped real often. Sometimes it's in the winter. But I put some lip balm up there for you to look at, just like as more of a reminder. I'm sure you got your favorite one. Make sure you get some of it and put it into your med kit. You can either get it from here on Amazon, or you can go to your local store. You can find it on sale, whatever it is, whether you're using the tangerine medicated lip balm that I like to use in a little orange ball, or you're using the famous Blistex lip medicine in a little blue tin, or you're using standard Blistex lip balm or chapstick. Either one. I mean, just have something in there to be able to take care of your lips. It doesn't take up much room, and make sure you have enough for a friend. So have like two Blistex sticks in there, one for you, one to give away. Or the little tin of it's nice because you can put your finger into it and rub it on your lips, and then your friend can put their finger into it and rub it on their lips. And it's not like you're sharing the same lip balm stick. So keep that in mind. Your medical kit might not just be for yourself. It might be for friends or family or other people you run into that you're taking care of. Now, your feet. Oh, God. The feet is one area of your skin that can get screwed up so quickly. Just having your feet in wet tennis shoes or wet boots for a day can really give you skin problems with your feet, especially if you're moving around and they're wet. One of the classic things you can get is athlete's foot, okay? And this is a fungus. So tenacitin antifungal cream has an active ingredient in it that is, this is a medication. This does a very good job of stopping athlete's foot really quickly. I had it once back in the 90s, and I used this on it successfully. There's other brands of it. If you've used another brand, fine, go ahead and get it. The whole thing about this is use what works for you, okay? Whether it's Tylenol or Advil works better for you, you use the one that works for you. Whether it's any, it's Band-Aid bandages or my Dermacell tape, you use what is best for you, what you're most comfortable with, what you know that works for you. You might want to try some of my stuff, like the tape, the medical tape, because it's just pretty darn cool, and it lasts a long time. It's pretty cheap, and it's really flexible. So go ahead, but I mean, just because I got Tenacitin doesn't mean you can use Lotrimin. There's other brands. I'm just putting up some stuff here as a reminder to use, like, hey, you need some foot antifungal cream. I prefer the cream because it goes on and it stays on exactly where I want it. But then again, there's the spray foot powder, and nice thing about that is it's cool. Okay. The other thing is you can share it. You can give it to someone else and they're not putting it in contact with their skin. They're spraying their foot and getting relief. You will have to do treatments for about a week or more to help take care of this problem, assuming you are not making it reoccurring every day by having wet feet. So that goes a long ways. Blisters. Oh, you can get blisters. And what happens to blisters? They swell. They get full of fluid and then they pop and then they hurt. So I got a whole variety of different blister cushions and everything up there. I got a couple of ones, three of them, two of them from Band-Aid, one from Blister Medic. These are all the pre-cut ones, pre-made. Just open the box and put them on your blister or around your blister to cushion it, everything else. What's a lot smarter is to use the moleskin, which is what these things are made out of, and you can get a sheet of the moleskin, 24 inches by about 5 inches, and you can then take your medical scissors we talked about earlier. You can cut out exactly the shape, or you make a double thickness. You can do whatever you want to take care of any blisters or any irritations you're having on your feet that are getting rubbed sore or popped, etc. You can do that. Plus, I have a roll of moleskin. It's only 2 inches wide, but it's a long roll of it. It also comes in 4.5 inches wide if you want. You can see it on Amazon when you click on the link. But you can just unroll this, and then you can start putting it on, like, tape in and around the different areas that you want. You don't need a pair of scissors. So if I got a blister, I can put 4 pieces of it around the blister and build it up around it so it's padding, or I can put 1 piece over it. It's real flexible, and if you got a blister, it'll be pretty obvious how to use this. And, well, no, it fails. Read the instructions on the back of the box. So that's moleskin and scissors. Now, number one thing to prevent you from getting foot problems, that's blisters, that is fungal infections and everything, clean and dry socks. Clean and dry socks. Okay, I'm saying this multiple times to get it through your head. Clean and dry socks. Have 3 or 4 pairs of socks on you in your kit, okay, especially if you got boots, and especially if you're going to be hiking, moving, or whatever, etc., you want to have multiple pairs of socks. And you might change your socks 2 or 3 times a day. If your feet get wet in an environment, you cross a stream or a river or whatever, you guys stop at the other end, dry off a bit, you take your feet out of your boots, take your socks off, you take your clean, dry socks out of their Ziploc bags that's in your carry pouch, you put on clean socks, and you put your feet back into the boot and you keep on going. Clean and dry socks. And you also want to clean and dry your socks every night around the campfire or at home or in whatever environment you are, and switch to a new clean pair the next day. You might end up washing and drying your other pair of socks as well. You cannot have too many socks. You want to have an abundance of socks, because this will prevent, it's like, how do you cure a really bad case of trench foot? You don't get it in the first place. I even have a link up there to Wikipedia on trench foot and the history of trench foot in Civil War, World War One, World War II, Korea and Vietnam. All of them suffered from trench foot in one case or another. The biggest people that suffered from it were World War One in the trenches, which is why it's called trench foot. Literally, it would debilitate more people than the gunfire would. So, skin care, protection, and prevention. Boy, keep yourself clean. I got some neat stuff up there called a no-rinse shampoo. I kind of like it. It's a lot better than nothing. You rub it in your hair, and you get your hair all wet with it, and then you, like, towel dry it, and you don't need to use water to rinse your hair off or anything. And it's quick and easy, and it's good if you got short hair. Got long hair, forget it. But it gets the oils off your skin, of your scalp, and off your hair, and makes you feel a little bit more human and stops problems from developing. The other neat stuff is the no rinse body bath with odor eliminator. You can use this and a cloth or a paper towel to take a complete bath. It's like you're making your own baby wipes is what it is. And, it's actually used by NASA on all the space shuttle flights. This is how the people in space and probably the space station clean themselves. You're not going to take a shower or a bath in space. You need to use something to wipe down and clean all of your body with, and that is what you use no rinse body and bath odor eliminator with. Because you can put it onto a cloth, wipe yourself down, clean your face. Remember, clean your face first, then start cleaning on everything else on your way down, not the other way around. And you can feel really good. And I've known people, they use these in nursing homes, too, to wash patients. And this will go on for months. So it's something that's really very effective. And it's a lot better than nothing. And it might be a stopgap measure for you, especially if you're in a transient situation, trying to get home or to your safe haven or whatever. It'll help you. And with that, I also got Pampers Sensitive White Baby Wipes up there. It's amazing how almost 800 of these things only cost like $25. They come in a tub, and you can just open it up, and you can use it to wash and clean. You can use your to make yourself feel a lot more clean after using the bathroom. This will help alleviate you getting diaper rash and other problems for which you'd have to use the Desitin. They're not a long-term solution, okay? They're like for the first week after the power fails or first couple days. And because you're really going to be probably pretty busy when something happens. You people think, oh, we're going to play games and everything else. Well, not always really. I mean, you can be pretty busy in your life. Look, everything automatic in your life just became non-automatic. Your automatic refrigerator, your automatic freezer, your automatic stove, your automatic microwave, your automatic dishwasher, your automatic washer, your automatic dryer, your automatic everything, your automatic furnace, your automatic air conditioner, those are all now not working, and you think you're going to have more time. So you can find yourself being pretty busy trying to get some of that stuff back. If you take my battery classes and, you know, how to power your house from your car with an inverter at solar1234.com, you might be busy putting the inverter in and running extension cords and getting ready for the night and everything else. You can even run your refrigerator off of it for a little while if the car is idling. Getting the TV set up to run off the inverter with a pair of rabbit ears. Yeah, definitely have a pair of rabbit ears for your TV sitting behind the TV, because when the cable fails, you need to pick up the over-the-air TV. And a pair of simple rabbit ears works very good for picking up digital TV signals, and it's a lot better than the antenna built into the TV. Let me tell you again, it's a lot better than the antenna built into the TV, and it only costs $8. They're sitting on solar1234.com. Make sure you get a pair. Whether you get it at Walmart or Big Lots or Radio Shack or Amazon, get a pair of rabbit ears for your TV. So you are really going to be pretty busy in the first phases of disaster, and you might not have time to clean up. You don't have the ability to clean up. You don't have a shower. You don't have a bathtub. You might find yourself just needing to sit down in the bathroom with some baby wipes and using a couple dozen of them and giving yourself a baby wipe bath. That's what these things are listed for. That's why the no-rinse body shampoo is there and the other things are for. These are stopgap measures while you're doing a transition from everything you knew to everything you don't know and things that you have stored that will last a lot longer. Now, one of the most important things you can have in a preparedness kit is a darn good pair of gloves. And I mean a really good pair, because your hands are a very powerful tool. But what if you're handling rough lumber from a house that's collapsed from a tornado? You're trying to rescue someone, or you just want the wood from their house to make a fire with, okay? You're dealing with splintered and broken wood. You could be dealing with downed trees and splintered trees and bark and nails and everything else. You need a pair of gloves. Gloves protect your hands. Gloves turn your hands into a much, much more powerful tool. They turn your hands into a very powerful tool. Instead of you going, oh, ouch, or I can't do that, that's too rough, or you're risking getting a cut and an infection, gloves prevent that from happening. So whether you get a good pair of leather gloves, or these DeWalt gloves I have up there, or a what's the black ones, the mechanics gloves, or you get the clones of those or something, get a darn good pair of gloves, where you get them at Home Depot, Lowe's, at the auto parts store, Walmart, and my links on Amazon. Whatever you do, make sure you get a good pair of heavy, thick, very comfortable gloves that are going to be your buddy, okay? Speaking of gloves, soft touch nitrile exam gloves, non-latex, powder free. If you're working on someone who is icky, nasty, and has a wound, a cut, an infection, it's pussy, it's whatever, or you just don't know them and you don't want to touch them because they're dirty, you're dirty, everyone's dirty, a boxes or a case of latex, non-latex gloves, medical gloves is going to go a long way to keeping whatever is on them off of you. So do not overlook the tremendous power of having some medical gloves on you. Now, skin prevention, damage, and irritation. Look, I got sunscreen up there. Why? I mean, it's good sunscreen. You can buy it from Amazon. It's at a great price. You know, one even has a pump dispenser on it to get it out and onto you real quickly. But more importantly, I'm telling you, you need some sunscreen. Whether it's some that's left over from your vacation, or, you know, it's nice as in vacation areas, or actually even at Walmart, after summer's over, they got it on clearance. You can buy it at half price. Stock up, okay? Not the spray bottles of it, because those are expensive, and they will actually lose their pressure and their contents over time, but I'm talking the suntan lotion creams that are in the bottle. That's what you want. That will go the longest. That will, I mean, sunburns can be debilitating, especially sunburns on the top of your feet, sunburns on your face and your lips. Those can go a long ways towards making you uncomfortable when trying to eat. Sunburns can go so bad that they become sun poisoning. And I've been sun poisoned before when I was a teenager. It makes you sick. I mean, literally, you're just laying there sick because you're burnt all over the place. So a little bit of prevention goes a long way. So I'm reminding you, sunscreen, guys, it's something for your kit, your medical kit, and for your preparedness products. And with that said, what's one way of using less cream? That's covering up your body. That's having a long-sleeve shirt, lightweight long-sleeve shirt, lightweight long-sleeve pants. And that's, I mean, everyone's a different size, and you all got your favorite stuff, so I don't have that up there. But what I do have up there is the Extreme Outdoor Hat, which is a big hat that goes on your head with a great big bill on it. And it's got the desert portion of it that goes down the back such that it covers your neck and your shoulders to prevent you from getting sunburned there. So it looks like a desert hat. But it's good. It's highly rated on Amazon. It's inexpensive. Get that for your kit or for your use or whatever you want. Or use whatever you have, okay? Use whatever you have and you like. But I want you to have this in front of you. It's like, oh, yeah, I might need one of those because I'm particularly sensitive. Of course, you could be up in Minnesota going, I don't think I'm going to be needing one of those. So, also, mosquito repellent and bug repellent. These are very important for you, especially in an environment like after a hurricane, you're going to have standing water everywhere, and this is going to become breeding grounds for mosquitoes, and within a couple days, they'll be hatched out, and they will be looking for you, and they want a blood meal from you. And when you haven't washed and your skin is oily and dirty and everything, that puncture from that mosquito into your skin just won't be an itchy irritation. It can become an infected problem because you're dirty. So one way is to keep them off you. Now, here's what you got to remember, okay? DEET, okay? DEET is for your skin. DEET is a mosquito repellent. What it does is mosquitoes find you by water vapor and carbon dioxide. You are exhaling out of your breath water vapor and carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide and water vapor are also coming off your skin. This is how mosquitoes home in on you. DEET confuses their receptors and they can't home in on you. They get confused. They don't know where you are. It's kind of like your secret cloaking shield. That's what DEET does. The higher the percentage, the longer it'll last throughout the day on your skin. You do not, under any circumstances, put DEET on your clothing. Why? Because it's a waste. It doesn't work. It's not going to work, okay? So that's one of the reasons you have long sleeve shirts and long pants, not just for sunshine, but also for mosquitoes. Now, what do you put onto your clothing? It's called permethrin or permethrin, depending on how you pronounce it. Generally, it's pronounced permethrin. This is an enzyme that is from the chrysanthemum flower. And what it's kind of hard to harvest it from chrysanthemum flower, so it's synthetic. It's man-made, but it's the same molecule as what came from the chrysanthemum flower. Permethrin is very toxic to bugs. Okay, it's not toxic to you and I because you and I can metabolize it, and we don't have a problem with it. Insects can't. Chiggers, flies, noceums, and especially mosquitoes. You become a walking mosquito-killing magnet when you have permethrin on because they literally land on your clothes and they try to stick their stinger through the weave of the clothes. They get the permethrin on them and they die. They fall off you and die, literally. You're going, oh, this is toxic. No, guys, this is not toxic, okay? This is a plant enzyme. It's like, how much more natural could you get? Of course, hemlock is all natural and it's toxic too, but you get my point, okay? This is a very proven thing. It works very well, and it's very innocuous to humans. The military has been using it for decades on all of their military uniforms for people in combat because insect bites are a problem. Now, the permethrin, you literally get the spray, big spray bottle of it, and you spray your clothes all to like you were spray painting them, okay? That's how much you soak your clothes. You soak the front and the back and everything, and then you let it dry. It will last for like over 40 wash loads in the dryer, in the washer. So it doesn't wash away. It bonds to the fibers and stays there. And so it's really good. Or you can buy, if you want, the pre-treated shirts, and there's pre-treated pants as well. These are pre-treated from the factory, just like Army BTUs, and they will go for more than 70 washes before it starts to lose its effectiveness. And there's a whole line of clothing that has this. It's called Bugs Away. And underneath, and the bottom link underneath Zorel Insect Shield, it says Bugs Away Clothing here. Click on that, and it'll show you all the Bugs Away clothing on Amazon. Feel free to treat your own clothes. Feel free not to do a darn thing, but you will suffer. Or feel free to buy clothing that's already pre-treated. Whatever works for you based upon your time frame, your needs, and everything else. Hey, there's a hurricane 3 days away and you're having Amazon overnight this stuff to you. You just might be getting the pre-treated clothes, okay? I don't know. You could be listening to this year 2013 right now. You could be listening to this year in 2023. But what I'm teaching you is the fundamentals of everything are the same. Whether I'm talking about permethrin or DEET, that'll still be around in 2023. The fundamentals of using sunscreen, the fundamentals of using long sleeve and long pants to prevent sunscreen and mosquito bites, that is still going to be true in 2023, 2033, 2053, et cetera. So I'm trying to give you principles here, okay, that you need to protect your skin. You need to protect yourself from bleeding. You need to protect your stomach system. You need to protect your respiratory system, okay? These are all fundamental basics that aren't going to change, and this is what I want to teach you. Speaking of your digestive system, diarrhea and worse. Just putting your hands into contaminated water and rubbing your face, touching your lips or whatever can give you, transport those organisms into you that are going to give you diarrhea, dysentery, or worse, diseases, depending upon where you are in this world. Continuous diarrhea, continuous uncontrolled diarrhea is called dysentery, and it actually comes from a bug that you get, a bacteria or an amoeba. So you can also get diarrhea from changing your diet, which will happen in a disaster. You'll be going to your stored foods instead of your store-bought foods. For whatever reasons, just being nervous, upset, stuff happening that you don't know what's going on. Stress can give you diarrhea. So the number one thing out there that is effective as of the point I'm recording this for diarrhea is Imodium AD. And this is loperamide hydrochloride, which is brand name Imodium. And I have some generic stuff up there, two bottles. It's 400 pills for $10 or thereabouts. It's a bargain. Get it. But it'll stop a problem before it becomes really bad. Diarrhea can actually, dysentery can kill you in less than a day, depending upon the environment you're in. It will really, really dehydrate your body really pretty quickly. So antidiarrheal medicines are a good thing to have. Then there's the old standby, Pepto-Bismol. It is a good anti-diarrheal. It's a good upset stomach medicine. It is a decent anti-nausea medicine. It is not as strong of an anti-diarrheal as Imodium AD. However, I got the tablets, the chewable tablets up there because the pink bottles take up a lot of room. And it's really not conducive to carrying around a lot of water in a medicine in your medical kit. So I got the chewable tablets up there. So you might want to consider those. They just help any little tummy problem from becoming a lot worse. If you're really getting diarrhea and the Pepto doesn't stop it, I'd be taking the Imodium type of stuff pretty darn quickly. Also, acid reducers. Some people suffer from gastric acid, acidy stomach, and they don't take Tums or Rolaids or stuff like that. Prilosec is an acid reducer. It's a medicine. It just shuts down the acid pumps in the stomach from producing acid. It doesn't give you instant relief like a Rolaids or a Tums does. However, it will give you relief for a good 24 hours. So this is not me saying, hey, I'm being a doctor here and I'm telling you what to take. I'm telling you if you got problems like this, you might want to talk to your doctor, your physician, your nurse across the street who's a good friend of yours, whatever, get some medical advice. And you might want to consider having some of these acid reducers of whatever type or brand in your medical kits if gastric acid is a problem for you, because it's likely that the stress in your diet change after disaster is really going to give you some bad acid reflux. What else are you going to get from a change in diet, especially like going from white bread to wheat bread and rolled oats and everything else that you might have in your preparedness? Well, you see, your stomach has enzymes generally to digest the things that it's used to digesting. When you ingest things that you're not used to digesting or they have indigestible components into them, what happens is they get turned into carbon dioxide and methane in your stomach and in your bowels. This leads to gas, okay? Farting, I said it. You could be farting like crazy from the changing your diet, going over to your preparedness stores. This could be unpleasant to you because of pressure, and it could be unpleasant to others from a smell point of view. So I got some Gas X thin strips up there. They're simethicone. They work extraordinarily well. They work immediately on reducing the gas being produced in your stomach and digestive system. And this, again, is something like, hey, if this is a problem for you, don't forget to have some of these things in there. If this is not a problem for you, you eat wheat bread on a regular basis and you got a good, healthy digestive system and everything, it's not for you. So remember, I told you, your medical kit has to be for you, made by you, for you, with the things in it that you and your family need. Notice I said you, and there about five or six different times. It's about you. This is what pre-made medical kits don't have in common. They got everyone in common, which means they don't have you in common, which means they might not have enough of what you need. So later on, I'll talk about some pre-made medical kits. Hey, if there's a hurricane coming, it's 3 days out, you're on Amazon, you got Amazon Prime, you can say, yeah, give me this $100 medical kit and have it overnighted to me for $4. And it will show up 2 days before the hurricane from the UPS guy, and you now got a basic medical kit, okay? Now, you might also augment that kit with other things from this page because you're now making that kit more about you. So just remember, you. Now, speaking of irritations, if you are a person with hemorrhoids, I don't think I need to remind you to have some Preparation H type of treatment around. If you don't have hemorrhoids, then you're a lucky person. But there are other people out there who suffer from hemorrhoids, and the word suffering is real analogous. They suffer from hemorrhoids. So just in case you do, don't forget to make sure you got a suitable supply of treatments for your hemorrhoids, whether they're prescription from your doctor or whether they're over-the-counter creams and such. Make sure you got what you need to treat your problem. Again, I have Benadryl, or the equivalent of it, listed here because Benadryl also has a mild anti-nausea property to it. It's not as good as prescription Compazine or the other prescription medicines for taking away nausea. However, it is decent at it, and plus it makes you tired, so it just might take away a little bit of your nausea and make you tired enough that you can fall asleep and sleep through your nausea and wake up and feel a whole heck of a lot better. So some Benadryl and some Pepto-Bismol for nausea might go a long way. Now, your respiratory system. Breathing, okay? There's one thing that people have to do, and they have to breathe. If you're not breathing, within 3 seconds, you are all immediately thinking about how am I going to be breathing again, okay? It is a real high priority in life, is breathing. So what do I have up there for you? These are more or less reminders for you. Delsym is a cough remedy. It is used by hospitals on a very regular basis for people with severe cough, especially like people getting treated by cancer who are having problems with the chemotherapy, which is inherently toxic and does all sorts of bad things to you, but, I mean, you got to kill the cancer. So Delsym works really good as a good long period of time cough suppressant. It works for up to 12 hours. And then I put Robitussin up there because that's maybe what you had as a kid, and you know that Robitussin works really good for you and for your children. Don't forget about it. You might want to have it in your emergency medical kit. Mucinex is another more recent one that's on the market. It works good as well. But again, this is about you and what works for you. Hall's Defense Assorted Citrus Cough Drops. Basically, cough drops in general. Cough drops go a long ways towards stopping you from coughing. Sometimes your coughing mechanism is done because you got a trickle going down the back of your throat from your sinuses, and that's going down and making you cough. Well, when you start sucking on a cough drop, all that goes into your stomach and bypasses the openings to your lungs, so it stops the coughing reflex. That can be something that's a good stopgap and temporary to help bide you over until you can get some cough medicine or the problem itself can go away. I mentioned the nasal drainage giving you coughing. I have Sudafed up there. This is over-the-counter Sudafed. It dries your nose up, which if you're getting coughing from nasal discharge going down your throat, then this will help alleviate that. Now, the whole field has changed with nasal decongestants. Most of them are now, they're behind the pharmacy counter. You got to go ask the pharmacist for them. They'll give them to you. They'll only sell you so much of it because it was widely used for making methamphetamines, etc. So, again, it's an over-the-counter thing. You can either get over-the-counter through Amazon at your local pharmacy, or you can get the behind-the-counter stuff from your pharmacy for the treatment and storage for your disaster preparedness. Also have up there N95 mask. You could be dealing with a great deal of dust, a great deal of rubble, a great deal of other situations where you got stuff in the air that you're going to be inhaling into your lungs. That's going to become an irritant to your lungs. So you might want to have an N95 mask up there. I got one up there that says it's for particulate sanding, but it's still an N95 mask, which means it stops a certain percentage of things from going through the mask. And this would The particulate sanding one would work on the germs as well, but the particulate sanding one has the exhale valve on it, the cool flow valve, which means when you exhale, everything goes out the valve instead of out the mask. When you inhale, the valve closes and everything comes through the mask. It's easier for breathing. If you're exercising, like you're working, and you're in a dusty environment, like a house that got blown down, then you want the cool flow valve one because it's hard to suck a lot of air through a mask. It's a restriction. So, but if you're just in the house working on someone, I got notes in there about infections and everything, then the regular mask, which is called the surgical mask, will work fine for you. Basically, a lot of infectious stuff, viruses and bacteria travel on your saliva. When you are talking, you are aspirating saliva onto the next person. When you sneeze or cough, you are shooting out a whole bunch of saliva. This can be saliva with infections on it. It'll float in the air like dust. You will inhale it, and then you can become infected from it. When you have a mask on, those particles get caught in the mask and prevent you from getting sick. But the most important thing is you put it on the sick people. That way, when they're talking and they're exhaling and everything else, or they're coughing into the mask and everything is caught inside of the mask. So that's one of the things you do. If you are a nurse or a doctor and you have a cold and you still have to go to work and treat people because people are sick, you're sick and you still need to see them, you will be wearing the mask to protect the patient, not the other way around. So remember, masks go on sick people a great deal more often than they go on people who aren't sick. Of course, if you're talking about a crowd situation and you're outside, you're going to be wearing a mask. This is popular. This was done wildly with many of the Asian viruses that were going around, both the swine flu pandemic that happened a few years ago, as well as the SARS virus that happened before that, sudden acute respiratory symptoms or system. What was it? Whatever. Sorry. I'm trying to talk and regurgitate information at the same time. So that is about it for your respiratory systems, guys. It's pretty straightforward to take care of, and it's nowhere as near as sensitive as your skin is, but it needs to be still be taken care of. Pain relief. Well, pain relief, we all know what we want. There is ibuprofen or Advil. Now, this works by reducing swelling. If you hit your finger with a hammer and it's going to swell up, it's going to push on nerves and cause pain, the Advil is an anti-inflammatory. It'll reduce the swelling. This will reduce the pressure on the nerves and reduce the pain. Tylenol or acetaminophen is more of a pain blocker. It more blocks more of the pain itself. So it is good for headaches. It's good for raw pain. And we all know what works best for us. I can't tell you which one to use, really. You know which one to take, which one's in your medical cabinet, which one do you take for a headache, which one do you take for when you hit your finger with a hammer, which one do you use for a fever reducer, etc. You know, there's also naproxen sodium out, which is by the brand name Aleve. This is also a strong anti-inflammatory. However, it's a long-lasting one. It runs for 12 hours. You don't take two caplets at once like you do Advil and Tylenol. You take one caplet at once. You might take it twice a day, and it gives you a real long-lasting pain relief. And the people with arthritis and other chronic diseases and pains and aches take this on a regular basis because they don't have to take it every 4 hours. They can take it once every 12 hours. So again, you are you, and you know what is going to work for you. I got the bottles of this stuff up there. You can get it from Amazon. You can get it from your pharmacy. Just make sure you get it, okay? Sam's and Costco is a great place to get it. It's about the same price or cheaper on Amazon, actually, and it'll show up at your door for nothing if you got Prime. So you don't even have to do the trip to Sam's Club. But of course, you might want to peruse their shelves and see what else you can get. Whatever is best for you, God bless you, just do it. Also up there, I got the little packets, okay? Again, you might not want to have a 200-count bottle of Tylenol or a 500-count bottle of Tylenol in your medical kit. You might want to pour some out into a Ziploc bag, write on it with a Sharpie, say Tylenol in the dosage. Or you can get these little packets of it, and again, you can have half a dozen of them in your medical kit for you or for other people. It's like, oh, I got a headache. Well, here, take some of this. A little bit goes a long ways. See, also up there in pain relief, I have water gel. This is used on mild burns like sunburns. And it does. It's got 2% lidocaine in it. Lidocaine is a pain-relieving medication, and it's used topically. It's also the stuff that they inject into you before they, like, do sutures and stitch you up. So it works really good at relieving the pain from minor burns. And so this is really good for, you know, sunburns. Many a times at the beach, I've had to go out to the store and get anti-sunburn cream for my wife because she was out in the sun too long, even though she had suntan lotion on, and she had a real painful burn. So it can be real ornery. Now, bad burns. I have a picture up there. It says Harris photo of my fingers burned with Burn Free. I have this product called Burn Free. I got it over 20 years ago. It's Melaleuca oil. There's no regular medication in it like we think of a 21st century medicine. However, it works on burns like crazy. I mean, bad burns. I had second-degree burns and blistering on my fingertips from grabbing a grill. I mean, I grabbed the barbecue, and it just burnt the crap out of me, and it hurt like hell. I put it under water, and then I put ice cubes on it, and it was horrible pain. 9 out of 10 on a scale of 1 to 10 pain. I drove to my research shop where I had a big medical kit, and I had all my Burn Free in this medical kit. And I ran in there so quickly, ripped that bag open, got the Burn Free out, started sticking my finger into the packet of Burn Free. I just couldn't put it on the wound and relieve the pain. I actually had to put my finger in, take it out, put my finger in, take it out, put my finger in, take it out. I don't know what the mechanism was, but I tell you what, it took the pain away. And I had to do this for a good 5 or 6 hours. And after that, it stopped hurting. And then the second-degree burns, which are on all my fingertips, you can see the picture of it there in 1080p. I had no pain ever again for the 2 weeks I had the blisters. I had the blisters for almost 2 weeks because that's nature's way of healing. Don't pop your blisters. And it worked really good. So speaking of popping blisters up in the foot section, I got some diaper pins. If you're one of these people who just have to pop your blisters on your feet, I can't have a blister. I gotta pop it. You might want to have a diaper pin or a safety pin to pop it with. Don't forget to put a match or a cigarette lighter underneath of it to disinfect it before you pop it. And also, in a first aid emergency kit, diaper pins and safety pins go a long way for wardrobe malfunctions. There is 1,001 uses for good safety pins and diaper pins. They should be a part of your medical kit. Even if the zipper breaks in your medical kit, you can put it together with diaper pins. So, backtracking a little bit because I missed that one, but I didn't want to forget about it. But I keep my blisters, okay? That's nature's way of healing everything. So we're running down towards the end of the stuff on the webpage, and then again, I'm going to be adding more things, but I'll put descriptions and explanations up there for you. I have some very good emergency medicine books up there. Where There Is No Doctor is one of the most famous medical books ever written for the layperson. It's for treating everything that could happen to you where there are no doctors. Highly recommended, plus the gross one, Where There Is No Dentist. I hate dentists, and one thing I hate worse than dentists would be having a dental problem and there's not a dentist around, so Where There Is No Dentist is good. The Doom and Bloom Survival Medical Handbook is famous. It's done by Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, or as I confuse them, I say Nurse Bones and Dr. Amy, but it's Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy. They have been on the Survival Podcast with Jack Spirko. They are actually going to be with me at Self-Reliance Expo. They're speakers, and I'm a speaker, and they're highly regarded in their field. They have an excellent book called The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook. That's up there. Consider picking up a copy of it, used or new, from Amazon. And I also got the physician's desk reference up there, which tells you what every medicine is. Okay, let's say you got a really bad infection and you got to take an antibiotic. You got a cabinet full of pills. You know one of them was for an infection that you had, and you want to treat it again with the same medicine, but you don't remember the name of the medicine. the physician's desk reference or the PDR will tell you what that medicine is. You look up the name. Oh, yeah, this is the one I took for antibiotics, okay? So the PDR will help you decipher exactly what medicines you have in your own cabinet and what they're used for or what medicines you might find. I mean, there could be a disastrous situation where there's a great big deal of dead people and empty houses. You might be going through houses as resources after the zombie apocalypse. And you might be in their medicine cabinet and they have a bunch of medicines and you want to know what they are and how you can use them to help you, the PDR will tell you. So always consult with a medical professional before taking any medications. That's my disclaimer. So make sure one of those, you find a doctor, even if it's a talking zombie doctor, make sure you find a doctor to tell you what to take and how to take it. Empty bags to hold your medical supplies. We got all this great medical stuff up here, but I mean, you gotta carry it in something. So I just, as an overview, I put some medical bags up there. There's the Molly Complete Military Style Medic Bag. This is a famous style medic bag. You unsnap it and it opens up to about like four different or five different compartments and they're all zippered shut. So you can have all of one type of thing in one, all your skin in another, all your foot stuff in another, and all your bleeding and clotting in another one. It's a great way to organize it. Plus, if you've got some web gear on you, which is also called Molly, this will lash into it and strap into it real well, and you can take it with you. I got a duffel bag up there for $10.79. It's just a straight orange duffel bag. It's got high ratings on Amazon. Everyone loves it. It's got extra pockets on each side for bottles and everything that you would need for during exercising. But this doesn't mean you can't stuff your own stuff in there. You can stuff in some your mosquito repellent in one, your suntan lotion in another, the first aid stuff that you need in the middle pouch on the outside that you need to get to real quick for cuts and scrapes, and inside you can have the rest of your stuff. I mean, it's all about, can we say it? You, okay? You making your medical kit the best thing that you can do because you know what's in it, you know where you put it, and you know that it'll work on you and your family. So make your own medical kit. And speaking of which, I have some North Star duffel bags. These things are 5 stars across the board on Amazon. If you want, you can go to Walmart and you can get some really good duffel bags. They're in the hunting area. And I don't know why hunting area is next to sporting goods area, but I find them in the hunting area for whatever the brand name. I think it's actually called Outdoor. And I use them a lot. They're really good. These North Star ones are tough cloth diamond ripstock, so they're really durable. They won't stop bullets, but they'll probably stop almost everything else. And they're really quite affordable, and they come in 16 inches in diameter by 40 inches long, 30 inches long, or 24 inches long. So you can get a big, medium, or small one, depending upon what you want to do. Having two small ones might be better than having one big one. I don't know. Again, it is all about you and what you need. So I have told you it's you and you and what you need. So why do I have pre-made medical kits ready to go from Amazon.com up there? Well, it could be like, okay, Hurricane Sandy is coming, or Hurricane Isabel, Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane something. You know something's coming. You got 3 days worth of warning. It's like, oh, I don't have enough of this stuff. And I need a medical kit, but I don't have 10 hours to sit down and decide what I need to get and buy it all individually. So you can just order one big medical kit, have Amazon ship it to you overnight for $4 if you got Amazon Prime. And it shows up, and there you go. And you can order your medical kit and you can go, oh, I'm a hemorrhoid sufferer. You can order, you know, 6 things of preparation H at the same time to augment your medical kit. So it's all the basics, and then you can put some more of the you on top of it at the same time. So you're not taking so much time to order. At least you got the basics. You can treat cuts and wounds and scrapes and infections all from the medical kit that is coming. So I got small ones and big ones up there for you to look at. There's so many things in these. You got to go to the Amazon page and see what's on it. Plus, you got to go in there and read the feedback. The feedback is really great because they don't always list every little thing that's in the medical kit that you're buying. But for some reason, someone who got it was absolutely compelled to spend about 2 hours on the review in Amazon and tell you how many paper clips, how many band-aids of this size, how many 4x4s, how much medical tape, you know, how much triple antibiotic cream in it, what size the packets are. They will, I don't know why, but they do it. But it's a great resource. Go on Amazon, read the description, and then look at the reviews and the ratings, and you'll get the whole story on it, and you'll know which one is right for you. So with that said, thank you very much. My name is Steve Harris. You can hear me on the Survival Podcast with Jack Spierko. I have the most fabulous, wonderful family preparedness seminar class you could ever want. It's audio. You can download it to your phone. You can listen to it with one tap. You can get that at solar1234.com, S-O-L-A-R1234.com. It is on the right-hand side. You have to enter your name and your email because we've had so much theft of it, and you'll get a link to it right away. My other stuff I've done up there on fuel and fuel storage, the stuff I've done with how to power your house off of your car with an inverter, the stuff I've done up there with generators, how to select the generator for you, and then how to hook up the generator to your house. That goes along with fuel and fuel storage, but I tell you how to do all the illegal, unsafe, as well as how to do the legal and safe stuff on hooking up a generator to power your house or whatever you need to electrify. Just make sure you don't electrify yourself. I have an entire thing up there on batteries and how to make a battery bank for your house or for your car. Battery banks are wonderful. No gasoline needed. You just go turn it on and it powers all the little things in your house. Your radio, your TV, your cell phone, your smartphone, your iPad, all your electronic devices, your little things become useful. LED screw-in light bulbs or compact fluorescents, they'll run those things for a very long time. Battery banks are a great thing to have. Of course, you can recharge your battery bank off of your generator. You can recharge your battery bank off your car, but it's the submarine process. I say you get up in the morning, you turn on your generator, you power the entire house, you dump energy into your battery banks, you do this for an hour or two, you know, you run the microwave and you go take a shower and everything, you make breakfast, and then you turn off the generator and you run silent, run deep. You don't need that much power during the day when you're not doing all that other stuff, and so you can run off your battery bank. Same thing as in the evening, you go to make dinner, you run your water well, you take a shower, you make it water for cooking, you cook, and you run the microwave, and who knows, you might even want to run the dishwasher if you got your own water supply. And you do that, you dump more energy into your energy banks, and then you turn off your generator and you run silent, run deep. You run all your little fans and your little lights in your house throughout the night off the battery bank. So battery banks are fabulous. There's a link to it on solar1234.com, but you can get to it directly at www.battery1234.com. That's battery1234.com. And I have two shows on batteries. I got selecting the right battery for you, which is a first-class education in batteries. You can go to Walmart and you can be sticking, literally sitting in front of 100 batteries, and you will instantly go, that's the one I want right there. I want the Group 29 Deep Cycle Marine Battery. Thank you very much. And let's see. Also, I got a video. I have a 4.5 hour video I made in HD. Okay. And it's me. Everything I tell you, everything in the podcast, you can make everything I tell you about in the podcast without no further information. But if you want to see me, Steve Harris, actually make everything I tell you step by step with, you know, with every precaution, don't wire this backwards. This is how I'm hooking these wires up. This is why I'm doing this. This is the size of wire. This is the gauge wire. This is where I bought the wire. These are the connectors going on the wire. This is how you crimp the connectors on the wire with a hammer on a rock, literally on a piece of concrete. I put the connector on the 2-gauge wire and I smash it with a hammer, and then I take a blowtorch and solder and I solder it. But I tell you, in an emergency, you can get away with just the crimp with the hammer. I show you everything, guys. I don't leave anything not said. I tell you how to make a battery bank for your house that's DC only, how to do it with an inverter, how to do it with a big inverter, how to have 8 golf cart batteries if you want, or just one little marine battery. I show you how to do it in your truck if you want to have mobile power in like a truck box. Great stuff. It's at battery1234.com. And when you are on these sites, also look, because you might be listening to this in the future, and you will see the other sites I have, all of which happen to end in 1234, and there will be more resources on these 1234 websites, just like there is on First Aid 1234 that you're listening to this on, just like there is on solar1234.com. Now, that's my radio station website. Anytime I do a radio show, it gets listed there. That's where everything goes, because I can tell you solar1234.com, and you know what I just said. You can go there, and you won't forget it. Battery 1234 is dedicated to batteries. Like I said, there will be a whole family of these sites. I wish you the best. Remember, if you are not prepared, you're already dead. And there's also our other fun stuff. 2 is 1, 1 is none, 3 is a guarantee, 4 is even more, 5 is fine, 6 is a good mix, 7 is heaven. And oh, I forgot what 8 was. But anyways, we go all the way up to 10. But there's a whole bunch of little wisdoms we have in the classes and a lot of good tricks. And it's just a great deal of fun with me and Jack Spearco on these podcasts that you can listen to. The video is detailed. But guys, whatever it is, do it. And when you get it, make sure you practice with it, you play with it. Turn your power off in your house for the afternoon. Go around with a clipboard with some pen and paper and write down everything that's not working or that you forgot that you needed. Then do it again later and do it for the whole night. Then do it again for a whole weekend. This is how you get prepared. You do it yourself and you find out what's missing. Preparedness is what's between your ears. It's not what you got. And the stuff is good. Stuff are tools, but it's really the knowledge between your ears that is going to get you through whatever is going to come. With that said, thank you very much. My name is Steve Harris. More information and background on me is at stevenharris.net, stevenharris.net. That's got a link to all my websites. I'm one of the largest publishers of alternative renewable energy books and DVDs in the United States. That's at USH2, like Uniform Sierra Hotel, the number 2.com. That's on stevenharris.net. I got links to that. I got a lot of resources for you guys. I hope you can find them all. I'll try to point you in the right direction. And stay safe, stay prepared, stay practiced, and hope to see you on the other side. Bye.